the changing isn't free. You've read it in the tea leaves and the cracks are on TV. Beware the savage jaw of 1984. They'll spit your pretty cranium and fill it full of air and tell you that.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Tuesday, August 18, 2020. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. Well, if you would, please, folks, we always try to ask to help continually support this effort by our station owner, John Stadmiller, here at RBN. It's very difficult to keep things going. All this important information, all these great hosts, all of the people whom we try to network, including you, each and every listener, and those who choose to call in. And there are less and less outlets for free speech in America these days. The independent media doesn't really have anything larger than RBN, actually, as far as radio is concerned. I mean, this is, I'd say, the place to be. And it really can't stick around without you helping to make that happen, folks. So if you do like what you hear here, the information you gain that you don't get anywhere else, you know, and all of the people who are willing to, with no motive of their own, you know, no selfish intent, an altruistic journalistic interaction. That's Republic Broadcasting Network, and we need to keep it that, you know. So republicbroadcasting.org does have a donate option that's very easy and secure to use. Please help us out, folks. Well, tonight we are going, well, this afternoon rather, we are going to be talking about super funds, and one super fund in particular, a super fund site. I, when I first came across this term, I certainly had never heard any explanation along with it. It was very vague and esoteric, really. You know, what is this? It certainly sounded like a good thing, though. I'll tell you that. You know, wow, a super fund. Must be a bunch of charities getting together for nonprofit work of some sort, you would think. But it really is a sugar coated euphemism for contaminated patches of land and the means of dealing with them. So thousands of contaminated sites exist nationally due to hazardous waste being dumped, left out in the open, or otherwise improperly managed. These sites include manufacturing facilities, processing plants, landfills, and mining sites. In the late 1970s, toxic waste dumps such as Love Canal and Valley of the Drums received national attention when the public learned about the risks to human health and the environment posed by contaminated sites. In response, Congress established the Comprehensive Environmental Response, Compensation, and Liability Act, CERCLA, in 1980. CERCLA is informally called Superfund. It allows EPA to clean up contaminated sites. It also forces the parties responsible for the contamination to either perform cleanups or reimburse the government for EPA-led cleanup work. One such Superfund site was previously in part a company called Aquatech Environmental Inc., also known as Gross Labs, GROCE, out of Greer, South Carolina. the 61.5-acre Aquatech Environmental, Inc. Gross Labs site is located in Spartanburg County, South Carolina, 5 miles east of Greer and a mile east of Duncan. It includes the area where the city of Greer operated a municipal landfill from 1940 to 1968, and where private companies operated a hazardous waste facility from 1974 to 1987. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency placed the site on the Superfund program's National Priorities List, NPL, in 1994 because of contaminated groundwater, surface water, and soil resulting from facility operations. Now, the EPA, the South Carolina Department of Health and Environmental Control, SCDHEC, and the site's potentially responsible parties, PRPs, have investigated site conditions and taken steps to clean up the site in order to protect people and the environment from contamination. Site contamination does not currently threaten people living and working near the site. People living nearby have access to the public water supply. By treating soil, monitoring groundwater, and enforcing institutional controls, EPA, SCDHEC, and the site's PRPs continue to protect people and the environment from site contamination. At least that's what they're telling me on this EPA.gov website. I'm sure they wouldn't lie to us, right, folks? Well, it remains to be seen, but let's hear it from someone firsthand while we're at it. I actually have someone who had been an employee with this company in the past, and he's going to chat with us today about his experiences and his perspectives on all of this and the whole Superfund concept in general. I mean, as I say, it's a ridiculous euphemism. So this airing, without further ado, we have Stephen Douglas Whitener joining us. Now, Stephen has previously worked for and later tried to expose a company called Aquatech. Aquatech were initially involved with illegal dumping in South Carolina around 1989 to 1990, and ultimately were turned into a Superfund site. Stephen has since become an acute analyst of the control and perceptions within our society and corporate infrastructure, at least in my opinion. The gentleman is very intuitive and a great researcher. Stephen, welcome to my show. Hello.
Hello, Richard. Hello, everyone. Thanks for having me on. While you were given that description of the Superfund program, what came to my mind was that it's analogous to the vaccine injury court. These companies that have been dumping waste for all those years are able to somewhat, to some degree, avoid liability for what they've done. I don't know if the protections are the same that vaccine companies get, but that was just kind of the general trend, that the companies can contribute money to this fund, and then, you know, it's like they've paid their penance for what they did. And I don't know, right. that was kind of the thought I had about the Superfund program in general.
Yes, this, and I also think of the euphemisms as far as the term Superfund site. It's such a euphemism, you know, it's so sugar-coated. And I think of the euphemisms in the economic world as well. All of these bundles of bad debt repackaged and sold, these terms that they use have the same sort of obfuscational purpose, to obfuscate their true being. But let's start with your background really briefly. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but, you know, a little bio, a couple minutes telling me, like, okay, how you got to the point in your life where you came to work for this company.
Well, I'm going to turn 60 years old next month, and I'm from upstate South Carolina. At the time I worked for this company, I was 29. I was hired in December of 1989. I had worked as a chemist at an adhesives and coating company for several years, and then I had a really bad car accident, and I was out of work for, I think, about 18 months. And as I when I recovered, I thought I had found a great job with this company, Aquatech, which had just was in the process of buying out the company Gross Labs here in town. And it was a facility, like you read, it existed on top of an old landfill. And the owner, Bill Gross, had been recycling solvents and processing industrial waste for about 25, 26 years, I think it was, before Aquatech came along to buy him out. And they told me when I was hired that I would be the quote unquote receiving chemist. And it would be my responsibility to contract out work to build a state of the art lab. They were going to do this thing right. You know, they were going to come in and become a responsible partner with the community, and that, you know, I would be able to hire people locally to build the lab. And I needed to recertify and recalibrate their equipment because they had gotten into a down run state, I guess that's what they put it, that they letting things go there. What they had as an excuse for a lab was a tractor trailer that had all of these nasty chemicals. It was full, and the equipment, none of it was calibrated or worked. I mean, to check the pH of something, I had to rebuild that just to check something's pH, whether it was acid or base. And there were a lot of other equipment. They had a glove box and an oxygen bomb calorimeter that no longer worked, and a Geiger counter as well. That was one of the things that I needed to use in my duties every day, that waste or shipments of chemicals would come to the plant, and then my job was to go and examine the shipment and see if it matched the manifest, if it looks like that's what is on the manifest, if that's what they're really sending, and just sign the manifest. And they said, you just take what they call that fingerprint sample of this stuff, and until you get your lab up and running, we'll send it out to have an independent analysis to confirm what you said. And okay, fine, you know, that sounded reasonable. And
so,
I would
but right one from of the start there right from the start, I mean, you have third parties who are allegedly verifying, and then your signature is being
yes.
used to claim whatever they're claiming about
exactly.
the safety. Please, go
yes.
on.
And allegedly a third party. I'm not aware of a third party that ever examined anything. I was shown no proof of this over time. And I did this for weeks. I don't know how many, a few weeks, right around December and January of 1990. And one of the first things that I was able to get fixed and recalibrated was their Geiger counter. And they had shown me, quote unquote, it works by taking a tiny sample of radioactive material and putting it up right next to the sensor, the sniffer, and the needle would just wiggle a little bit. So I see it works, right? But I took it to a local company, an engineering company that recalibrated it. And then when I came back, and it wasn't just the setting that it was on. You know, I didn't change the setting of the sensor. It could be in the room with this sample, and it would detect it. And, you know, I went back and checked some of the same things that I had looked at before. And what do you know? There was radioactive stuff here, and it wasn't supposed to be here. There was no license for them to handle that kind of waste. And I just, okay, you know, once I discovered that, I realized my name is on these documents. I don't want my name to come up later on in a court case or to say that I confirmed this stuff was what it says it is when it wasn't. And so I went to them and I said, look, I'm not willing to have my name on these documents. And this was late January of 1990. It might have been the 1st of February. I don't remember the exact date. And I raised a bit of a fuss. I said, I'm not willing to do this. You know, I'm not going to go along with this. You know, I don't know if it was a mistake or what, but we need to fix this. And this facility, it is, like you described, a 61 and a half acre site where waste is just sitting out in the rain in metal drums. Some of them, if the metal drums are leaking, they'll put them in a plastic overpack. There are pools of poison just sitting in the ground, like in an open pool out here. There's a lot of chemical weapons. There's mustard gas here, explosives and things like that, that they did have a license to treat. And so they told me to go, and one of my duties was to inventory gas cylinders. They had many gas cylinders sitting out on pallets, you would see, like a CO2 cylinder or a oxygen cylinder, and they're just sitting out there on pallets in the rain. And I had to go and inventory, make sure they were all still there every week. And at the time, there wasn't a barcode checker I could use. I had to take a clipboard and go and look at every label and check it off. And so they said, you go do that, and we'll work on getting these papers for you. And while I was down there doing that, I kept coughing, and I just noticed that I had kept getting a tickle in my throat. And I got to one of them, and there was a mist spewing out for 10, 20 feet. It seemed, in my memory, it was huge. It probably wasn't that big, but I looked at the label, and it was hydrogen chloride gas. And we used radios to communicate. I told them, we got one leaking down here. And they said, okay, well, come on back up here. Don't say that on the radio. So as I walked back up the hill, it got harder and harder to breathe. This stuff, once you breathe it in, it turns to hydrochloric acid in your lungs and your sinuses. And that happened to me. It burned me, And so I should have known better. I was 29 years old and still thought I was 10 foot tall and bulletproof. And they said, well, just drive yourself up to urgent care, and see if you're okay. And, I should have known better. I did get someone to go with me that worked there. I should have insisted on them calling an ambulance, but the urgent care sent me to the ERs that they couldn't treat me. And then, so I was down for a good 6 weeks or so with pneumonia after this. And they got away with this. I wasn't able to file a claim or anything. When I went back to work, they took me aside, this one guy that worked there, and said, what you found here, you leave here. Are you going to end up back here in one of these drums? And okay, I should have seen this coming. In retrospect, I was just really naive and thought that I had a great job with this up and coming company that was going to be great for the community. And I was going to be on the ground floor and all that. And they were just criminals, basically. That you read in the Superfund description that this company was already on their list of suspicious sites or potentially harmful sites. And so the company knew that was coming. At this time, there was a thing in the EPA. They had chemicals that they were starting to ban from landfills. And this was right before the last of those regulations came in. And this company, when they started to take people's waste, I'll give you an analogy of what they were doing. They would take a drum of waste and say they would charge someone $1,000 to treat this drum of waste, but they didn't treat it. They just left it sitting there until they got shut down. And maybe 6 to 7 months, I think it was about 9 months when it started, before they became a Superfund site, they sent a letter to all these companies who had paid to have their waste treated and offered to sell it back to them for about 30 times what they'd already paid to treat the waste. It was just extortion, because the company could be fined many millions of dollars when the EPA came in and turned this into a Superfund site. So they could, if they wanted to avoid that, wanted to avoid their name being mentioned, then they could buy their waste back at an extraordinary amount, And that was the crime that they were committing. I did not realize that was what was going on at first, but it was probably in the summer of 91 that I found that out, when I saw these letters had been published in the paper locally. And once I are we coming? I hear some music. Are we coming?
Yeah,
on the
we
plane?
Have to break. Okay. Yeah, I'll stick around. Okay. We'll be right back, folks.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Beyond the official narrative, we're here talking with Stephen Douglas Whitener, who had worked for and later tried to expose a company called Aquatech. This company was involved with illegal dumping in South Carolina around 1989 to 1990. Stephen just got through telling us about how once he didn't feel comfortable with his signatures regarding the safety of some shipments and containers they were holding on site, he basically had his life threatened. And it even seems like perhaps these containers expelling gas, one day he was appointed to inventory, it could have been intentionally set up. I mean, so you have permanent lung damage as well. We're going to get into that in a few minutes. But I mean, just wrapping up, just how everything, from where you left off, how everything turned out and your perspective on this, Stephen.
Yes. Well, once I was fired, they had this accident. When I tried to come back to work, they fired me. And I was on one level, I was devastated because I thought, okay, after this wreck I've been in, I'm really, you know, getting my life back together. Thought I had a great, you know, great job. And then on another level, they're doing this to my community. You know, I live here. I've lived here all my life. And that angered me greatly. And I tried to contact the EPA. And they didn't seem to be interested at all in what I had to say. And then DHEC as well. And they didn't seem to be interested. And, you know, I was very frustrated. And then there was an accident here at this facility. They had a fire. One of the few things that they would treat were things that were going to catch on fire or explode. If that was going to happen, they'd try to do something with it. And they had a product called phosphorus trichloride heels, which is like a black tarry substance that's scraped out of a reactor. When phosphorus trichloride is manufactured, it has arsenic pentoxide as a catalyst in it. And if this substance even comes in contact with air, the moisture in the air will set it on fire. And that's one thing that they did try to treat. And they got this stuff caught on fire. And I know how this happened. It's obvious that they didn't seal the drum, the little screw top overpacked drum at the end of the day. And there was a lot of evacuations. You know, firefighters came out there, and as far as I know, they didn't tell them what the smoke was. You know, it was a very toxic smoke. And this happened in February. And after that, I tried the DHEC and the EPA again, and they still didn't seem to be interested. So I contacted the local media and tried to talk to them, and even they didn't seem to be. I guess that this place had complaints for years. The neighbors would call because they would. One of the few things that they would treat is explosive stuff, and they would blow it up out there on the ground, and it would shatter, you know, it would rattle windows around, and people complained about it constantly, and nothing had been done. And then another accident happened in April, and this was involved some rocket fuel waste. There were four drums on a pallet. There were two explosions, and I can picture the way this happened. I didn't see it happen, but when we would move pallets of drums around this yard, we didn't have any way to secure them. There was no shrink wrap, which might have put a spark out, or even, you know, straps to hold it on. And the drums would fall off the pallets as we were moving them around the yard there. And there was a small explosion of fire and then a huge explosion. And this, you know, it shattered windows around. My father, we live maybe 5 miles, three or four at least. I don't know exactly how far from the facility. And he said he heard the first explosion. He is out in our yard, and he felt the second one, that it almost knocked him down. And after that happened, you know, I was very frustrated as to what to do about this. I was angry about what they'd done to me, but I was even more angry about what they were doing to my community. And as I was riding by the facility, I saw there was a news crew out there filming it. So I just hopped out of the truck and hopped on the camera to tell them what I knew, you know, and I was afraid. I was also afraid that they might come after me, but what I did was hide. I went to hide in plain sight. You know, I don't know. It just seemed to me like I should get out there what happened to me as best I could. And I went on the local news station and told them, and it was quite a scene because, me and some of the people working there were screaming at each other. And then, you know, and they talked to the guys after I left, and they said, "Oh, that's a good source you got there. He was fired." And this one, you know, so I was, scared for a year or better. Maybe it was like September of 91 when they were finally shut down, but I thought, man, they're going to come after me. And finally DHEC sent some criminal investigators who talked to me. And so I had at least got down on the, you know, on record what had happened. But, you know, they got away with it is the bottom line. Is they just right. were doing this, and there were no repercussions against them that I know of, criminally at least. And they, as far as I know, they continued to get away with extorting money from these companies. And, you know, that happened to me 30 years ago, and I had not talked about it much after the fact until, you know, I met you, and we did some journalism. Yeah,
right.
Together.
Here we have another break coming, Stephen.
All right.
Hold on. Folks, we'll be right back. Stick around.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an engine cleaner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
With Stephen Douglas Whitener about his experiences at the company Aquatech. And Stephen, you mentioned you basically spoke about your experiences at the time to a few local media affiliates and then hadn't really spoken about it again until I contacted you about some interviews. Let's see, that first one we did, I have the date right here actually, was July 2017. So
yes,
yeah, that was quite a span.
So,
go ahead.
Yeah, I don't want to say that this shattered my illusions about the world, but it really brought home to me the corruption that I had been aware of somewhat beforehand was just, you know, it was really strong. That's what ruled the world was the people with the power. You know, that they could get away with whatever they wanted. That there was like a 2-tier justice mm-hmm. system even then, that people yep. with the money, you know, the golden rule, the ones with the gold make the rules. And it brought that home to me pretty well. And I had not obsessed about it, I put it that way. It's not like I didn't think about it, and it hurt me, you know. This really messed up my life. I've been damaged physically ever since. I don't know if you could tell from my voice that I do have some damage here, the, you know, with my lungs and stuff. I get constant infections and stuff in my sinuses, especially, and you know, it's just caused me problems. And I don't blame that for my personal failures, you know. I mean, that's, I own my own stuff here, but it did really disillusion me as to the way the world worked and the way that these regulatory agencies that were supposed to protect us, that they didn't, they were in it for themselves, that the there was like this revolving door of people in industry and in regulation, and that's in all sectors, you know, medicine and chemicals and food, agriculture, the FDA, all of those places that are run and regulate these companies. It's the people at the companies that come, you know, go back and forth. So they're able to get away with things here in the U.S. that they aren't other places around the world. And I wasn't as aware of that until this happened. And I've looked into those things ever since. You know, I've become a bookworm, I guess. I didn't obsess about this company, but I tried to learn all I could about the way the world actually worked after that. My father had been a soldier in World War II. He was one of Merrill's Marauders. If some of the listeners may have heard of who they are. They fought in Burma behind Japanese lines during World War II. And he gave me a book called War is a Racket when I was about 11 or 12, and told me, you know, the world is not what you think it is. You know, kids around here, when I was growing up in the 60s, we would go out and play war, you know, and he said, war is not a game. And it's, you know, and it's also not this patriotic endeavor that you've been told it was. You know, the cartoon history of the world is what he called it. He said, don't believe the cartoon history of the world. You know, look beyond that to learn the actual history. And I had already tried to do that to a certain degree as I was in high school and college. I was a constant reader, but I didn't realize how powerful these people were and how powerful the corruption was until it almost killed me, you know? And I'm sure that a lot of other people who are wanted to be whistleblowers, who wanted to do the right thing, have had the same experience. You know, it's not so much the crime that gets prosecuted and persecuted, but it's the person exposing the crime. That was not as true of me necessarily, because they didn't come after me legally back then, but you know, the company was able to get away with coming after me, and now it's even the regulatory agencies and the government that goes after people trying to do the right thing. It's very disheartening. So that kind of led me to, I don't know, to be pretty cynical and try to look at things from a different perspective. And of course, I've never been one to be a wallflower and shy. I put my opinion out there pretty well, especially when I joined Facebook, and that was how you first met me. You'd seen the stuff I posted about that, and so then now 30 years later, I've been able to bring this back up again and to kind of, you know, purge it for a little bit, maybe get a little catharsis of what happened to me. I'm sure that it's happened to other people too, that people have had a similar experience where they try to do the right thing. And then,
and there are many aquatechs out there, I'm sure, without us even, yes, even having to do the research, we can just imagine.
Yes.
Yep. So and by the way, folks, this would be a good time to open up the phone lines. I'm sure there may be people with similar experiences, perceptions from those experiences. And perhaps you have a question for Stephen to elaborate on something. Regardless, 800-313-9443. That number again, 800-313-9443.
Well, I would like to point out, Richard, that there's another company now called Aquatech that had absolutely nothing to do with this. When I was doing the research for this, just looking it back up, there are some other companies. Don't be confused if they're about Aquatech as far as water or something to do with pools. Just they have the same name. And as far as I know, this company has been out of business since then. You know, I don't know if they were a front for something or not. They were out of Wisconsin, the ones that bought Gross Labs. And, you know, in my opinion, they were criminals, but I don't think they're around anymore as a corporation.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was looking at the one link you sent me, just delineating their history and how they became a Superfund site. It doesn't look like, I mean, there are some affiliate companies on there. Like you say, some of the affiliate companies of before the time you worked there, during or after, could be victims themselves, and others could be co-conspirators. And we really can't know. It's really just a microcosm of the macrocosm of just how these things work. The agencies seem to cover things up, really, and allow for more corruption to be routine and systematic,
yes,
really.
I agree. I think it indicates how that whole process happens, even, and especially with the vaccine companies, you know, they are able to hide the damage that they cause people behind this government vaccine court. And, you know, it just seems like that our government is set up to protect us. It's not protecting us. It's protecting the corporations that are harming us. More and more, that's what's happening. The EPA, even, there was a disaster in a mine in Colorado a few years ago. I think it was close to the same time that we first spoke. They had a dam had burst, and the people, you know, they just completely got away with this. The EPA has definitely not protecting the environment, but they're causing harm. In fact, I would say that the depopulation agenda has infiltrated all of our regulatory agencies to a large degree. At the time I went to an attorney locally because I wanted to do something about this, and he just told me, yeah, I know those people, they are go to the Sierra Club with him. Just okay, you know, these people at Aquatech remember. And later I learned at the Sierra Club and these environmental agencies, they're really more into depopulation, and it's just like a continuation of that old Cold Harbor eugenics thing. From, you know, they changed their name, but they still want all this Agenda 2030 is all tied into that. And it's a deep rabbit hole once you start looking down it. And that's just kind of what opened the door to me was that experience. It made me really look into it a lot harder. Before, and you know, I was 29 years old. I was trying to enjoy my life at the time, but
right.
after that, man, I just became cynical and you know, hard, I guess you would say.
Well, perhaps you just had to take a step back to look at things from a new set of insights. Maybe that's a good way to put it. I also would just add that, I mean, since then you went on not just to do interviews, but I mean, you wound up doing some shows. I mean, with the website I have for a few hosts here me, I've had you as a host doing some shows. So you've been getting into journalism and radio broadcasting. And I know you might do some more of that in the future. That is brilliant, you know, to turn something like that experience into something positive, both to get the information out and to improve your life. We have a caller for you, Stephen. We have Sherry in Kansas. Hello, thank you for calling.
Hello. You know, when you started talking about this, I thought how the mob, what they call the mob, is often been shown to be connected with waste.
Yes, waste
toxic
management.
Waste stuff. Yeah. The guy that Rick has on Saturdays, Rick Adams, he has on usually for the last half hour of his show. He's up in New Jersey, and he's got a lot of stuff on his website, and I can't think of the name of it, but he talks about that too. Mm-hmm. And did you ever find out who was on the board of directors and stuff of this place, this company?
Well, yes and no. Not the board of directors per se, but the people who were at the top of the company. I did meet most of them at this site. And, you know, it does sound very much like an extortion plot, what they were doing there by taking in people's waste and then saying, oh, you know, you could get in big trouble if they find this stuff of yours here. So maybe you'd like to buy it back from us. I mean, that does sound very much like a mob operation to me, but these people were connected to the Republican Party in Wisconsin, ironically. I don't know to what degree. And, you know, once it was over with for a lot of years, I didn't look back into it anymore. And it's been 30 years, but it definitely, you know, floored me when it happened. That's the biggest event during my life. Basically, it set the tone for what was to come. And, you know, just now trying to do something about it, I guess you would say. Go ahead.
Were they like incorporated in Delaware or anything? Did you find out where they were?
I don't know. I know that they were out of Wisconsin, and if you look up Aquatech Environmental, and there is an article, the EPA lists a lot of the the circumstances around them becoming a Superfund site. That was the one article that I was able to find. And back at the time this happened, there was a lot of local news coverage. That was how I first learned about this letter that they had sent to the companies offering to, quote unquote, sell them back their waste, you know. And then there was the TV crew that was out there. I tried to contact, in fact, I did contact the TV station, but they claim not to have archives of video that goes that far back. I was going to try to find, you know, that interview where I was out there screaming back and forth with the people who had done this. And I did get some vindication on the television after they became a Superfund site. The reporter who had first interviewed me out there, he replayed our interview where they called me a liar and said I was fired. And he said that, you know, that all these things that they were learning about Aquatech should come as no surprise because they'd been warned about them by me, you know, the year before. And I used to have that tape. I used to have a video of that because it felt good to finally, you know, be vindicated that, yeah, what I was telling them was the truth. And now here you see it. But, you know, that was the end of it, I guess, as far as the local media was concerned. They figure, OK, it's shut down now and they're going to clean it up, which, as far as I know, that's what they're doing. They're testing the groundwater. And when I ride by that site now, I don't see a lot of activity going on. I don't know if they completely cleaned it up, but I wouldn't trust a well next door, not myself.
Were there any disease clusters come out of this?
Yes. Now that you mention that, I do know that some people who lived around this facility, and not necessarily right next to it, but in that very general area, there was a cluster of children who were had a particular birth defect several years ago. I knew, five people who had the same problem that was, and I forgot what it's called, but a child, a lot of times the baby won't come to term. They'll be stillborn. And one couple that I knew, their child lived for like 29 days. And it was just very unusual that many children died from this in that close of an area, you know? So that could be, that's a possibility. Mm-hmm. And it probably is more that I'm not aware of.
Yeah, especially if you have a miscarriage or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you never know on that, and people may not attribute, because it might not have been. So you're thinking that it got into the water supply, maybe. And,
that's possible.
Or it could have been airborne.
That was another thing, because they took waste, and one of the things that they would do if they found something that they didn't know what it was, they would, a lot of chemicals had accumulated there over the years before they bought it out that were identified by Bill Gross, and you know, they didn't really know what it was and they didn't know what to do with it, so they would just classify it as the most hazardous class. They would make it explosive waste, and then they would stick a couple of sticks of PETN or dynamite next to this and blow it up, and that was the way they treated it. So there's no telling what they blew up and put into the air.
Wow.
And that was that. Okay. That really floored me there. that was the way they treated the waste.
Well,
they
thank
just blew
you.
It up. Yeah.
Well, Sherry, right. Thank you so That's much for the call. Some wonderful questions right. there.
Yeah, thanks very much. Well, that was good.
Yeah, yeah. We have just about a minute or two until the last break. But, I mean, this, as you say, really changed your perspective on a lot of things. As I say, it's great. Uh-oh. You turned it into something more positive. I mean, but you got into a lot of other areas of research over the years. You mentioned your father having been a big influence on your interest in World War II. And I know
yes.
you've done a lot of research into war history, World War II, revisionist history, even. There's a lot of interesting
yes.
things there. You mentioned you've read a lot from David Irving, even at an early
yes.
age. Isn't that right?
Well, it was back in the late 90s or 2000 that I first started mm-hmm. reading that. But I read Smedley Butler's book when I was in middle school.
Okay.
And then I even plowed through Carol Quigley's book before I got out of high school. That's a slog, you know, Tragedy and Hope. And it kind of goes behind the scenes to the people pulling the strings and gives a history of what they were up to. There's one called a sequel to that called The Anglo-American Empire, which I have not read all the way through, but have listened to some of the audio book of that. And it's rough, you know, it's very dry reading, but it tells the story. The the synopsis of Carol Quigley's book is called None Dare Call It Conspiracy. I forgot the guy's name, Gary Allen, maybe, that wrote that. It's a shorter little book. It just, you know, gets to the heart of the matter pretty quick. And if anybody was interested, that would be the one I would recommend to start with, because it took a long time for me to read Tragedy and Hope. Buckminster Fuller was a big influence on me, too. He wrote Operating Manual for Spaceship Earth and Critical Path, and we don't have to live this way. You know, he pointed out that the technology is more than capable of taking care of humanity in an ever-expanding and increasing standard of living. We don't have to go through all this, these wars and stuff. It's just for profit, basically. And to keep the ones in power in power.
Yes.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispicos. 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
One day we will put it all behind. We'll say that was just another time. We'll say that was just another day on earth.
All right, Stephen. Well, we have only a few minutes left here. You were talking about some of the books that you started reading to look further into history and revisionist history as well.
Yes. Well, yeah, I had the thought while on that break that back in 1990, when this thing happened to me, the news media, the local TV station, they seem to still be interested in the community more than they are now. I don't know if our local media would cover things the same way they did 30 years ago. They've all been you know, taken up into one big conglomeration. That makes stuff like RBN that much more important, because this is where you're going to learn the truth. You know, with independent media, that there's just, you know, five corporations that own all the media, basically corporate media in the world. It's disheartening sometimes to see what we're up against. But
Stephen, before you go ahead. Finish your thought.
Well, I was going to say it can be disheartening, but the media controls our perspective to a large degree. There are probably a lot more of us than there are of them, and we just don't realize it. They make us think that our voice is not important, but it really is. If people are aware of the truth, and then they will, you know, each one teach one kind of thing, you know, I think that we still can turn this thing around. I don't know. I just, it can be hard to see everything happening every day, the way things are going, but yeah.
Oh, I was just going to add, before we run out of time, where people can find you, contact you if they want to reach you for anything. And I guess it would just be where you've done some shows. Revision Media's website, we have your contact info with your email address there if anyone wants to reach out to you. And
I'm on Facebook. I'm still Stephen Douglas Whitener. So far, I haven't been completely banned. you could probably find me there too.
You know, I'm on Facebook. Right. So many people have left Facebook. I'm still on myself, actually. Anyone out there wants to find me on Facebook, I still have room with my my friends list. And it's still a place, I think, to at least network, and then you can discuss the topics that are taboo to Facebook elsewhere, but we can at least utilize the enemy's big tech for networking. I've met a lot of good people through there, you know.
Myself, that remembering the analogy that we met behind enemy lines, just like my father was fighting behind enemy lines in Burma. Yeah. We met on Facebook, and that's definitely behind enemy lines these days. But, you know, for the time being, I'm still on there. And my email address is at revisionmedia.org as well, if anyone is interested in contacting me.
Brilliant. Fabulous. Well, it's been a pleasure to have you on, Stephen. Look forward to chatting more in future. And
Thanks very much, Richard. I enjoyed coming on. Hey, y'all be good to each other.
All right. Have a great afternoon. Cheers. All right, folks. Well, we're just about wrapping up here, but that really does remind us how much these corporations create all these agencies and middlemen to shift the blame and obfuscate the intent. Have a great day. Transcend the construct. Regards.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
This is RBN,
The Republic Broadcasting Network.